That is the sound of money at Pease's Candy Store in Springfield, Illinois. Almost any time someone enters the store, they'll buy something, whether it's chocolate truffles, cashews, popcorn, or a candy bar. Whether a kid or not, it's hard not to be excited in a candy shop. The cool air combined with the smell of fresh chocolate. The sentimentality you may feel inside a candy store, though, is the opposite of what's going on between candy makers and sugar growers in Washington. There, the argument is whether the U.S. government should continue its long-standing sugar program, which keeps the price of sugar higher in the U.S., primarily through government restrictions on the sugar supply, occasional buybacks, and controls on imports. Sugar growers say the program is vital because most other countries, including Mexico, heavily subsidize their sugar production.
But we need to have some kind of buffer to the subsidized foreign sugar, otherwise we would be wiped out by foreign producers who are not more efficient, but who are subsidized.
That's Jack Roney with the National Sugar Alliance. The group represents the growers of sugar beets in the upper Midwest and western United States and cane sugar growers in Hawaii and three southern states. This $2.5 billion industry, minuscule by corn and soybean standards, has been formally supported by the government since the Depression. At Pease's Candy Store, owner Rob Flesher says for his three stores, the U.S. government's intervention means the cost of sugar is often double the international market price.
It affects the cost of every product I buy. Everything from the things that we make, the things that we just buy, candy bars, hard candy, any of that kind of stuff.
Whether it's a small candy store or Nestle, companies dependent on sugar are urging Congress to get rid of the program as a component of the Farm Bill being hashed out this summer. Both sides have spent money on lobbying and advertising. One of the sugar industry's points is that homegrown sugar is part of the nation's food security, highlighted here on this industry video.
Multinational food makers want artificially cheap sugar to boost corporate profits, even if it means jeopardizing 142,000 U.S. sugar jobs and America's food security. They want to outsource.
However,
America's
Iowa State University
production.
Agricultural economist John Bagan calls that concern baloney.
We're not buying sugar from Iraq or Syria or a crazy country somewhere in the Middle East. So we're buying sugar from Brazilians, from very stable and predictable trade partners. So there is no political risk.
Bagan says his studies show up to 20,000 new jobs would be created in the U.S. if Congress nixed the program. And Bagan says each consumer in the U.S. would save $10 a year if the sugar program was ended. That may not sound like much, but added together, he says that's nearly $3.5 billion. However, the Sugar Alliance's John Roney says the overall price of sugar has dropped in the last 2 years, and he didn't see anyone passing savings on to consumers.
We look at what's happened to the price of sugar on the grocery store shelf, and we look at the price of products that are highly sweetened, and we find that the prices for those products have continued to rise.
Corn farmers would be affected slightly if the program were eliminated. Bagan says the prices for corn sweeteners would drop if refined sugar prices fell. Corn groups have not taken a stand pro or con about the sugar program. The government's involvement in sugar appears to be solid for now. The program is included in both the House and Senate versions of the Farm Bill heading to conference committee, though the amendment votes were closer than ever. Also in July, the U.S. Department of Agriculture purchased surplus sugar for $43 million in order to prop up the price domestically. It's the first time that type of direct intervention has been needed in 13 years. Bill Wheelhouse, Harvest Public Media.